Karen, would you please call a roll?
I will. Sievertson?
Present.
Ward? Amelon?
Present.
Bynum?
Present.
Skillings? Coos?
Here.
Prysanka? Otteson? Lynn?
Here.
Hagerman?
Here.
Aside from SEPA staff and council, is there anyone else on the line that would like to introduce themselves?
Yeah, this is Tor here in Petersburg, just calling in as assistant in Petersburg.
Thank you, Tor. Anyone else? No response, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Brings us to item 1B, communication laid on the table. We did have one in regard to item 7A, a new business laid on the table, and we'll discuss that during that regular course of business. Are there any disclosures or conflicts of interest at this time? Hearing and seeing none, move us on to approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion for the approval of the agenda as presented?
So move.
It's moved. Do I have a second?
Second.
It has been moved and seconded. Adam, Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Chair, could I just interject for a minute? I couldn't tell who seconded that motion. Could they identify themselves?
Sharon, it's Dick Coos. Isn't here.
Okay, thank you, Dick. Mr. Chair, also, we don't seem to have Rangel on the line. Robert, do you show either of the board members from Rangel?
Yeah, no, I'm not seeing anyone from Rangel at this point.
Okay, I just wanted to make you aware of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Chair, if I can jump in here just for a second.
Yes. Great.
Yeah, I just got a report that it looks to be that we have a fire in our warehouse office space in Rangel. I just got something from Clay. So, anyway, I just wanted to let you know that we're in the middle of a little bit of a crisis there, and that may be the reason why we have some of our strikers online. So,
that doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't. I'll continue to monitor the situation, and it may have to duck out periodically here. Just that everybody's safe that I'm aware of, so that's the most important thing. But just wanted to apprise the board that we've got an ongoing event there.
So, Trey, just for information, as you showed us that picture, there is an office space to the left where the flames are coming out, and then there's a warehouse space to the right of that. Is that the way that works?
That would be accurate.
Yeah, and so it looks like there's flame coming out from where the where the heat pump.
And that is the warehouse.
Okay.
Yeah, Clay just sent a text and essentially said started in the wall behind my desk or the comms room behind it in the wall. So that's near as you can tell right now. So it's really kind of, I don't want to speculate too much, but
yeah,
obviously
yeah.
There's
is that our building, Ray? Do we own that or do we lease it? That's our building, right?
Yeah, it's our building.
Yeah.
Okay, well, do whatever you need to do as we go through the meeting. We understand if you have to duck out and take care of things, and we'll carry on as appropriate. I did talk to Steve Prezunka before the meeting, and he had complete intentions of signing on by meeting time, so there might be he might be responding as a firefighter, is what I'm thinking. So we'll muddle through this, and if they get on, that's great. We understand. So again, Sharon, would you call the roll on the agenda?
I will. Amelon?
Yes.
Sievertson?
Yes.
Coos?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Thank you.
Brings us to persons to be heard. Is there anybody online today that is here to speak to the board? Anybody online?
Yeah, this is Torg here in Petersburg, and I had a couple items I wanted to touch on, kind of unrelated to today's agenda, if that would be a good time.
Yep, that would be. Go ahead, Torg.
No. Yeah, well, I listened to the last meeting, I guess the special session you guys had, and I like the idea, I guess, for the bonding, the stretching out the potential bonding to 30 years, and I think, I guess, personally, you know, I like limited debt for any organization, but I think with the current rates, it makes sense to, you know, keep that as an option, especially if there's no early repayment penalty like there is with our current tax-exempt bonds. And so, yeah, I guess just I thought that was a good move forward. One other thing I did want to touch on, looking, you know, kind of at the 4R plan, I think the cables, I guess, the transmission lines, submarine cables, and I think major substations, switchyards, aren't covered currently under our levelized, like they aren't taken into account, so the levelized payments we're making don't take those into consideration. And so I guess every time, like I guess with the current submarine cable, you don't know when that big purchase might come up. And so I was wondering, you know, in the 4R plan, that was acknowledged that, you know, these are big expenses and that we were probably going to bond for these. But I thought, you know, in consideration, since we're looking at the 4R plan and revamping it, maybe we should consider including those in our budgeting and in the levelized payments. So just to have less surprises, I guess, if you budget for them and you know, you level out basically over time, which is the point of levelized payments. If we take those into consideration, then maybe also, like today's discussion wouldn't be as big of a deal. Basically, you know, $10 million expense comes forward 10 years early. You just plug that back into the 4R plan and see how much you need to increase the levelized payments every year. And so it's less of a maybe big event every time something like this happens because it's already taken into account. Another thing, you know, going back to looking at bonding, I guess, in the 4R plan, it was acknowledged that we are going to bond for these. And one unintended consequence I see of that is that basically we got a lot of these assets either from the federal or the state government at a reduced, you know, a lot of the money came from them, I guess. And so basically we're getting assets for a reduced cost, and then we're not putting money up front to replace those assets. And so basically the way I see it is we're subsidizing current ratepayers and then moving the expense to future ratepayers. And so if you start saving money now, you know, for a replacement, then ratepayers are paying for that upfront. Whereas if you just wait until the asset is unusable and then you bond for it, you're pushing the replacement 30 years, depending on the asset, 30 years potentially into the future. And so, like, looking at it from a long-term perspective, I would like to see these assets incorporated in the 4R just because then the rates would be more consistent over time and we wouldn't be subsidized in the future, you know. Future ratepayers wouldn't be subsidizing current ratepayers, I guess. And going back to submarine cable, you know, our self-insured fund, we're realizing maybe we need to bump that up. It looks like a submarine cable might be in the ballpark of $15 million. And so I also wouldn't be opposed, you know, I understand $15 million just sitting around not doing anything is a lot of money. But at the same time, that does give us opportunities, options, you know, when if bonding in the future is 7% or something, we want to have the option that we don't have to bond. If we don't, you know, we need some options, I guess, some leeway. And so I'd encourage, I think the discussion already is to increase it to $15 million, but I wouldn't be opposed if it gets above that up to $20 million, you know. I mean, if we have almost $200 million in assets, and then up to $20 million, it's only 10%. And so, you know, I realize that's a lot of money just to be sitting around, maybe, especially with interest rates not very high right now, but just a consideration. And getting back to that, you know, you see it directly in the numbers, accumulated depreciation, looking at our, the SEPA, yeah, looking at, I guess, the, so it looks like we have $182 million in infrastructure assets, and we've already depreciated $57 million of that. And so since we only have $8 million in capital on hand, basically there's a $50 million liability there, and we aren't saving for those assets, basically. So that kind of just gets back to, like I say, I would like to see them incorporated in the R, the 4R plan, and then increase our levelized payments every year. Another thing is that the SEPA office that I think last meeting we touched on, improving the design or moving forward with that anyway. I think previously, I believe in December, we talked about maybe including that in the bonding for that we're looking into right now. And now I think it's not part of that bonding, is my understanding. And looking at the thought process, I don't think we have, at least I haven't heard, how it's going to be paid for. And so I think that's like always step one of a project is how it's going to be paid for before, you know, we sign off on a $3 million project. And along with that, because it's not accounted for in the 4R plan, then it's outside of, I don't believe it's accounted for in the 4R plan. Then it's, again, unaccounted for, and then our levelized payments every year aren't covering that. And so in my mind, what I would like to see is any big project like this in the future be accounted for in the 4R plan before we even approve them. One other thing I want to touch on, I guess, is in the December meeting, we talked about how communities are struggling with COVID, and I think there is definitely certain businesses are just, yeah, they definitely got hammered by this. But the amount of federal money that's available, you know, PPP or AK Cares, or there's a lot of grants and, you know, federal and state money. And so I think overall, people that were affected by this have, maybe they don't mean them all, but they have received assistance. And I don't think, maybe we shouldn't be as afraid or take it as much into consideration. I think long-term impacts maybe aren't as certain, but if there is discussion of rate increases, I don't think it should be as much of a consideration just because of the amount of money. A lot of businesses did receive funding to compensate them. But I think, yeah, that's the general comments I had, and yeah, be listening for the rest of the day.
Thank you, Tor, for that. It's always nice to know people are out there looking at this stuff as we move through it, so we're not basically working in a vacuum. I think there is yet to be developed a plan for funding the building. We still have, stuff in regards to the submarine cable. We didn't want to complicate that bond by adding other things to it to make it even more complicated. But I think that from what I've spoken with Trey about, there is a plan that will come forward at the time when we get ready to start to construct. We were always thinking that maybe using this rural bonding deal that they've been looking at might be an option, but so far it's been kind of cumbersome to get through. So that may or may not be an issue there. You know, it's interesting you talked about the self-insurance fund and the money that we had on hand. A number of years ago, we had, it was higher than that, and we reduced some of those funds. And with the Owen Cotton submarine crossings and things like that, you may be correct in regards to this. So, I know Trey's offline. Ed, are you still on?
I'm here, Bob.
So is there anything on what was brought up under person to be heard? I know this is usually not a discussion, but is there anything that you want to enlighten us? Oh, Trey, you are there. Okay, you didn't see that. So is there anything, Trey, that you would want to enlighten us on in regards to that?
I think we'll cover a fair amount of this during today's discussion. I think I appreciate Tor's comments, and I think a lot of that will be covered when we get into the 4R plan update, and we'll be making recommendations to the board on that. as we dial that in. With regard to the SEPA office, you're correct, Bob. We'll find out a little bit. Currently, it is designated to pay for it under the dedicated R&R fund. So it has been determined that at this point it's paid through that. So it's not like there's not funding, and it hasn't been determined. But there are other options if we do want to bond for it. My indication that I got from the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank is there's another opportunity probably in September if we're so inclined to put another project before them.
All right, so we'll take that up under that item. I appreciate those comments. So that, is there anybody else wishing to speak to the board at this time?
Mr. Chair, we did get another joint phone call, 808-280-7408, and that might be Cliff.
That might be who?
Cliff, I'm not sure, or
No, that's a gentleman that is calling for the appeal when we come under that agenda item 7A.
Thank you, Sharon. So that brings us on. We'll close persons to be heard and bring us to item 4, review and approval of minutes. We have minutes of February 26th and of March 31st. If everybody has reviewed, I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the minutes of the two meetings.
Thank you, Bob. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, you, Dick?
That's me.
All right. So moved by Bob, seconded by Dick. Any discussion? Hearing and seeing none, Sharon, would you please call the roll?
I will. Amelon?
Yes.
Siebertson?
Yes.
Coos?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Moves us on to item 5, financial report. Item A, CEO financial memo. Trey?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. The just an overview here real quick. The revenue and expenses are the operating budgets we're tracking about 12.5% under budget, which is pretty good actually. And our revenue is also tracking higher than expected. I'll get into that in just a second when we go through some of the internals for the stack here. Renewal and replacement project expenditures are low when compared to the total annual budget, but those activities certainly will pick up here over the next month or two. The large one in subcable, and we also have some other big work, station service and such out of Small Lake. So those are all scheduled, and I imagine those expenditures will start to flow here pretty quickly. I did discuss in my memo this the Keene submarine cable replacement funding, and discussed, you know, we did work a parallel path with Alaska Municipal Bond Bank and Rural Utility Services, and AMBB unanimously approved SEPA's request up to $14 million. So we're working right now to dial in that number. It's looking like probably around $13.4 million. And we'll have to determine that here in the next week or two. The bonds are anticipated to be priced near the end of the month here. So the AMBB process is moving forward very rapidly. And of course, we have to fully commit by that time. With regard to our efforts under the RUS, Rural Utility Services, we spend a huge amount of staff time in the application process and trying to get through that and navigate, understand the requirements and such. And I'll say that was reasonably well supported. Typically, they deploy somebody to your site and kind of walk you through that process. And anyway, multiple emails and meetings, teleconferences and stuff to advance that. the one component that was identified early on in the process is that any project that you finance through RUS requires essentially an environmental review, likened to a NEPA process. And this was identified as really the bottleneck for any projects going through that process. And of course, they're going to take care of people that are already in the system and are perhaps pursuing financing for projects. The responsiveness out of that office in D.C. was, I'll just say it was horrible. Took them 2 weeks to just send me some basic application documents, and that was following a follow-up email by me asking where they were at. They were promised a couple of weeks before. So, and then I spent a couple of days reviewing those documents and followed up with a couple of quick clarification emails, questions, I should say, trying to clarify exactly what they were looking for, because it requires engagement with our environmental consultant. It took 25 days to get a two-sentence response. So I think that we probably don't need to elaborate that on that any bit anymore for right now, but suffice to say they have either have a huge backlog or you know, just not responsive, or maybe a little bit. So at this point in time, we are anticipated to move forward with the EMBD. And just to give you a little bit of a sense where that's at, we did apply for a 25-year bond. Typically, they're 20. And right now, I'm sensing that rates are maybe 3.5%. But we won't really know those numbers until they're priced. To put that into context, that's that'll be approximately about $800,000 in addition to debt service, which is about a half cent on the wholesale power rate. And a little bit more information there on how those payments roll. We used typically make two interest payments per year and a single principal payment. Our first payment won't likely be due until like the 1st of January, but typically we take funds and set them aside as we roll up on that in order to make that payment. So we'll talk about that issue a little bit more as it pertains to rates and that type of thing under the agenda. Tied to the submarine cable, I've also annotated in my notes here that I've applied for a $2.55 million grant, hopefully through the infrastructure spending monies that might flow through the state legislature, and that would be up to $14 million to cover this project. And I premised it on if there's an opportunity to defer a rate increase, that this would be a great time to do it as our economically challenged region recovers. So that's in the works. And the chair may have some additional things to add to that particular item at some point. But I think, as you can see, staff is working every angle we can to try to minimize the impact to our member utilities during these challenging times. And I'm hopeful that maybe something emerges out of that, but the submarine cable capital funding request is going to take a little bit of time. As I understand it right now, they have to pass an operating budget at the state level essentially by the end of the month. And they can or perhaps will pass some type of a capital budget, but I don't think it's required immediately. And so in all actuality, I anticipate that there's going to be a special session to deal with some of that. So anyway, we'll get into that a little bit more later under the agenda. And I'll just note that we do have one grant that everybody's pretty familiar with that we're working on, and that will be applied to the higher side evaluation item. I'll pause there for a second, Mr. Chair, so we can get a motion.
Thank you. Are any questions in regards to the presentation? I guess just speaking again about the 2.55 that we're looking at offset debt service, I did speak to Devin's office about that and Bert directly explained the rationale behind it, and he was receptive to the idea, so I think that was good. And I believe that Trey is right, that there's going to be numerous special sessions for the legislature as they didn't get all the business that he needed done. The main thing is they have to pass an operating budget by, I think it's the 19th. And then everything I hear is there might be everybody will go home for a little while and then come back and take up some of the revenue sides of the budget to try to get through that. And then I think there's going to be one just for the ARPA funds and how that's going to be expended. So that discussion is yet to be had. And I think those ARPA funds they're looking at, they can expend those over a two-year period of time. So we'll see how that rolls out. Anybody else? All right, Trey, you have anything to follow up?
No, I think we're good for now. We'll kind of delve a little deeper into some of these later in the program.
All right, thank you. Bring us on to the controller's menu. There is a motion on page 12.
Mr. Chair, I move to accept year-to-date financial statements through March 2021. And disbursements for February, March, and April 2021, totaling $2,488,728.20, as presented.
Is there a second?
All right. This is Dick, second.
All right, thank you. It has been moved and seconded. Trey, or Kay, do you want to go through the financials and updates?
Certainly, I'll go ahead and jump in here. Then I got to make a quick call to Clay when we move on to the next item. So if you turn to page 13 in your packet, you'll see megawatt sales year-to-year comparison, and it gives you an indication on where we're currently at here this year, and we're doing well. We're kind of at the top of the range of our some of our historical data for sales, and I'm not sure if it'll continue this trend. It really kind of matters what the weather does. Right now it's kind of cooler, but if it's wet, then I expect Ketchikan will more than likely lean on their hydros more and back off the SEPAs. So that could occur, but for now I think we're off to a great start. And the one advantage, and Robin will get into it here in a minute, we talked about the update, but we got a lot of snow on the hill, and one fortunate part of being a little bit cooler is that comes off slower and lowers our risk of spills. So those are all good. It gives us more product to sell. So moving on there from there, and well, I guess I'll just jump to page 16. This is just another good illustration on how we're trending so far over our forecasted budget. So we're doing well. Happy to see that.
So Trey, a little bit of this could be through the year determined by what happens to the price of heating oil.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point, Bob. Sometimes if we do see a big spike in heating oil, people will look to alternative means. We haven't seen that for a while, but it certainly could impact overall sales. For the most part, I think the biggest driver for consumption is outside temperature.